Days passed. Idris, 1900. Deciding to sneak into Blackthorn Manor as a shadow was one thing, but actually going through with it was another. For days after Grace asked him, James made excuses to himself about why tonight could not be the night. His father up too late to not notice his leaving, weather too foul to roam around outside, moon too bright to give him sufficient cover of darkness. Then one night, James awoke from agitated dreams and found himself flushed and breathless, as though he'd been fleeing something monstrous. The linens of his bed were thrown off. He stood and paced his bedchamber for a time, unable to think of sleep. Then he pulled on trousers and shirt and climbed out of his window. He had been thinking of Cordelia, not Grace, but he found himself at the wall around Blackthorn Manor nonetheless. Unable to turn back, having come this far, he willed himself into shadow. Quickly enough, he found himself through the wall and across the grounds and into the entrance hall. He hadn't been prepared for the state of Blackthorn Manor in the middle of the night, its deadly hush, its aura of menace like an open tomb. Thick silver dust trailed along the edges of banisters and furniture and tangled into cobwebs in every corner. At the edge of his vision was a grey blur. He knew it was the border of the Shadow Realm. He knew he was courting that world by turning his flesh to shadow. But he had made a promise. James could see ghosts, and there were no ghosts here. But this place felt haunted regardless. The shadows seemed to listen intently to his footfalls. Most strange of all, every clock in the house that he passed was stopped at exactly the same hour of 8:40. James went up the stairs. At the end of a long corridor before a turret wall stood a ghastly suit of armour, easily twice as tall as a human. Thankfully, it was only a decoration, fashioned from steel and copper. It resembled nothing so much as a massive human skeleton, with a chest piece in the shape of a ribcage and a helmet and mask that formed a leering skull. It stopped him short, and he stood staring at it until it came to him what it must be, one of Axel Mortmain's famous clockwork creatures, an empty shell that had once housed a demon. The very monsters that his own parents had defeated when they were only barely older than he was now. Grace had told him that Tatiana had left the house untouched all these years, but that was not entirely true. She had installed this mechanical creature's corpse in its gallery. Why? What did it mean to her? Was it admiration of Mortmain, who had nearly destroyed the Shadow Hunters? James hated to turn his back on the thing, but he moved on and quickly found the door to Tatiana's study. The room was piled with boxes and crates, stacks of yellowed pages and decaying books. On the wall was a portrait of a boy, about the same age as James, shining green eyes dominating his gaunt face. James knew who it must be, though he had never seen him. Jesse Blackthorn. There was a metal box set on the low wrought iron table below the portrait of the dead boy, carved all over with the winding vines that the Blackthorns used to decorate seemingly everything. The lock was built into the lid, presenting a simple keyhole in the smooth surface. Without looking directly at the box, he lowered his hand to its lid. He felt his body flash into and out of shadow in irregular jerks, and for an awful moment saw that other land, the blighted place of twisted trees. James thrust his ethereal hand through the lid into the box, closed it around a cold serpent of metal and withdrew it. It was Grace's mother's bracelet, just as she had described. He fled from the room, from the manor itself. The moonlight through the dusty windows of the hallways wavered and writhed like a mass of silver snakes. Out of the manor grounds and nearly home, James became aware that he remained a shadow. He stopped where he was, a nondescript stretch of road lined on both sides with dense trees and foliage, neither Blackthorn nor Herondale home visible. The sky was dark, the moon a bright sliver. Grey shimmered at the edge of his vision as he closed his eyes and willed himself to become solid again. Nothing happened. He was not, at the moment, a being who breathed, but he felt himself breathe anyway, hard and shaky. When he had become a shadow during his scalding fever, it had only been for moments. It had not been much longer at Shadow Hunter Academy, but he had not made the change on purpose either time. Oddly, his mind turned to Cordelia, to her voice reaching through the fever, through the shadows. He fell to his knees, his hands making no mark in the dirt of the road. He closed his eyes. "Let me come back. Let me come back. Do not leave me alone in these shadows." He felt a jolt, as if he had fallen and hit the ground hard. His eyes flew open. He was no longer a shadow. He staggered to his feet, gasping in the cold, clear air. The grey had gone from the edge of his vision. "Well," he said out loud to nobody, "never again. That's easily done. Never again." The next night, Grace was waiting for him under the shade of a yew tree, just inside the entrance to Broslind Forest. Without a word, he placed the bracelet in her hand. She turned it thoughtfully over and over between her pale fingers, and he saw the moonlight strike across the engraving laid within the curve of metal. "Loyalté Mélie." James knew the meaning. It had been the maxim of a long-dead King of England. "Loyalty binds me." "It was the motto of the Cartwrights," Grace said, her voice very soft. "I was Grace Cartwright once." A smile touched her lips, faint as winter moonlight. "As I waited for you, I realized how foolish I had been to ask for this. I cannot wear it without my mother seeing. I do not even dare keep it in my room lest she find it." Grace turned to him. "Would you wear it?" she asked. "As my friend. As my only real friend, truly. Then when I see you, I will be reminded of who I am." "Of course," he said, his heart breaking for her. "Of course I will." "Hold out your arm," she whispered, barely loud enough to be heard, and he did. He told himself later that he would never forget her fingers on his skin, the way the whole of Broslind Forest, perhaps all of Idris, gave a great sigh as Grace gently closed the bracelet on his wrist. He looked down at Grace. How had he never noticed before that her eyes were almost the precise colour of silver, like the bracelet itself? He wore it through the summer, into the next year, and the year after. He had, even now, still not taken it off. "Suppose," said Grace, "but I wouldn't have had a family. And now I do. A mother, and a family name, and a home." She did not look entirely happy about it. "I do wish I had been able to keep something of my parents, though." James was startled. "Do you truly possess nothing of theirs?" "There is one thing," she said. "My mother had a silver bracelet she wore. Mama said it is very valuable and she keeps it in a box in her study. She says she will let me wear it when I am older, but every year I ask, and every year I am not yet old enough."
"Can you not retrieve it from its box?"
"The box is locked up tight," she said. "My mother is fond of locks. All over the house I find drawers, cupboards, boxes that won't budge without the right keys. I cannot imagine that Mama remembers what key goes to what lock. There are so many of each." Her expression changed in a subtle way. "But enough of this sorrowful subject. I have heard from my mother that the Carstairs family will be visiting you later this summer. No doubt you will spend all your time with them once they get here."
"No," James said. "I expect Cordelia will want to spend all her time with Lucy. They're to be parapetai someday. Of course, Lucy is also writing her book, So there may well be times when I really should spend time with Cordelia, as a good host. I mean, whatever she likes. Obviously, if she wanted to spend every day with me, that would be all right. He stopped, realizing that he had become entirely crazed sometime in the past 10 seconds. Grace was being very polite about it. "I'm so sorry," he said. "I did not mean to suggest." Grace laughed lightly. "Nonsense. I know you mean well, James. You're just in love with Cordelia." James was horrified. "I am fond of her, that is all. We are friends, as you and I are." "Oh," Grace said. "And if she arrives here in Idris and tells you she has met the most wonderful man, and they have had a whirlwind romance and now they are promised to each other, you would only congratulate her, like you would any of your friends?"
"I would tell her she was too young to get married," James said stiffly.
The truth was that when he thought of Cordelia marrying someone else, it felt like being kicked in the heart. With a start, he realized that in his vague imaginings of the future, Cordelia had always been there, a steady, welcome presence, a warm light in the dark of the unknown.
Cruel Prince James strode into the chamber, his cape flashing behind him, and his terrible, terrible moustache askew with rage.
Lucy narrated the moment James walked through the door. "Does it need to be said twice that it's terrible?" James said.
He required a hot beverage to soothe his throat, parched from barking out his wicked commands all day. Tea, he thought, yes, tea and revenge.
"I'll just go put the kettle on," James sighed.
"What a strange sort of friendship we have," Grace said.
They were back at Blackthorn Manor, James clipping away at the briars along the high stone wall, and Grace on the other side, ambling along with him. He caught glimpses of her every once in a while as they walked through gaps in the stone.
"It's a pity you can't turn into a shadow and come join me, on my side of the wall."
James stopped clipping. "I hadn't thought of that. Maybe I could." He put down the shears in the grass and looked at his hands. He did not know what to do. He thought hard of nothingness, of the grey of the shadow realm. With a start, he stumbled forward through the wall. He recovered himself. He was still a shadow, though he was not in the shadow realm. He stood very clearly inside the garden walls of Blackthorn Manor. There was overgrown grass everywhere, and Grace, staring at him.
"Can you come back?"
she was mouthing, or possibly saying out loud, and James, with a huge effort, did. Back in his physical form, he clenched and unclenched his fists.
"That was amazing," Grace said. "I imagine you'd get used to the feeling if you practiced."
"Maybe. Do you think I could leave by the gate?" Grace laughed. At the gate, as he departed, she reached for his arm.
"Wait, James, I was thinking. If some night you find yourself unable to sleep and you find yourself cast into shadow, perhaps you could come here and walk through the briars and into the house and into Mama's study and dip your shadowed hand through the top of the right box and retrieve my bracelet for me."
James felt a surge of warmth toward Grace. He had feared she might be horrified by his presence as a shadow. But not only did she accept him, she presented an opportunity for his power to be used to help. He felt for some reason that he owed her, though he could not have said why. "I could. I will."
"Leave me a sign if you do it," Grace said. "And the next night I will meet you in the forest. You would be a true friend to me if you could do this."
"I can," said James. "I will."